Fraud, scams, and scandals are nothing new, but lately they seem to be all around us. Federal prosecutors are investigating more parents who were involved in the college admissions scandal that actors Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin were caught up in. Theranos founder and CEO Elizabeth Holmes is awaiting trial. She is accused of defrauding investors, doctors, and patients. The actor Jussie Smollett may have faked being attacked in Chicago. And then there's the Fyre Festival.
Guests who paid thousands of dollars for the ultimate luxury getaway instead were stranded in waterlogged tents eating soggy cheese sandwiches. Not a model or musical act in sight.
The founder and former CEO of Theranos has been charged by the SEC with fraud for a role.
Prosecutors say Smollett paid the Osundaro brothers to pull off the staged attack.
Loughlin and her fashion designer husband are accused of paying $500,000 to guarantee admission for their two daughters into USC. Prosecutors say Huffman paid $15,000 for a professional test taker to take her daughter's SAT.
The lengths people will go. So, what is it about scams that we find so intriguing? Joining us now is Megan Garber, who's a staff writer for The Atlantic. Hi, Megan.
Hi.
And what do you think it is about scams and cheating scandals that we as Americans find so compelling?
I think part of it is I've been thinking a lot about that question for myself because I have not been able to put down news about
right.
scams. And I do think part of it is that if you kind of look at them in a certain way, there's a level of competence that is required to execute a scam successfully that we don't often see in our everyday lives. You know, it can be kind of compelling to look at the scams and think, how did they actually do that successfully for so long, you know, before they got caught?
Right. Right.
As being a scam.
Like we're trying to figure out how we would do it ourselves if we were doing the same scam?
I mean, not even quite that, although maybe that's part of it. But I think there is kind of a reverse engineering phenomenon that happens. So, for example, for me, I got really obsessed with the story of Theranos, the blood testing company. And I could not stop reading about it. There was a book that came out. I read the book. There was a podcast. I listened to the podcast. There was a documentary. I watched the documentary. There are also going to be two feature films coming up about it.
This is Elizabeth Holmes, by the way, who got away with defrauding investors with big promises for a technology that doesn't exist.
Yes, exactly that. And there are so many dimensions to this story, but I just could not stop with it. And I thought, okay, what is it actually about this particular story that is making me so obsessed? And I think it was the details of how she actually fooled so many people for so long and using largely means that were legal. You know, certainly it was allegedly fraudulent, and she is soon to go to trial for that. But in the meantime, they were using a lot of methods that really were, you know, technically above board. And I think that fusion of what is technically legal and what is technically illegal is really fascinating. And then just looking at the details of how so many people were able to sort of fall under the spell for so long.
Does the fact that these scams seem to happen all the time lessen their effect at all? Are people still shocked by these events?
That's a great question. My answer that I'm a little bit sad to give is I don't think they're shocked anymore. I think we've sort of given over to a little bit of cynicism, frankly, when it comes to these. And we're sort of losing our power to be shocked by them just because they are so common. And, you know, you sort of take them in with, interest and a little bit of shock, but not really a sense of surprise. At least for me, that's how I often consume them and metabolize them. And you just sort of kind of shrug your shoulders and say, yeah, that tracks. Another one.
You know, the college admissions scandal is an interesting one because it revealed a lot about how unfair the system is, even when everyone else is following the rules. Wealthy people in that case seem to have a big advantage over everyone else. Do scams show us something we don't know about how the world works?
I think they very much do. I think with the college admission story in particular, very soon it sort of became a story about that particular scandal, but also about the myths of meritocracy and, you know, all the lies that were told just about what it means at this moment to be an American living in American culture. And I think that's true for a lot of other scams as well, where they sort of have a resonance within the moment, but they also speak to something much broader and a system that is in so many other ways unjust.
What do we know, Megan, about what drives people to cheat in the first place?
Ooh, You know, I don't know specifically about the literature. I'm sort of racking my brain. What I do know is I think scams in general tend to thrive in times of uncertainty and unrest and social upheaval. So the term con artist, for example, comes from the 19th century when people were urbanizing. And, you know, you suddenly had these cities where there were strangers, you know, kind of rustling up against each other and trying to figure each other out. And, you know, the confidence man arose from that environment to sort of take advantage of the ability of the stranger to sort of take advantage of other people. So, you know, con men comes from that. And I think we're seeing a similar thing now where there is just so much uncertainty in the air right now. And it just feels like a moment that is primed for scams in the broad sense. You know, so I'm not sure about the particular psychology, but I do feel like it makes, you know, a lot of sense in its broader context.
Well, and also we only find out about the scam when somebody gets caught. And it brings you back to Bernie Madoff back in 2008. The only reason that scam, his Ponzi scheme, fell apart was because the economy collapsed and all of a sudden there wasn't any money for him to pay all these investors with fake dollars.
That's right. That's right. And you could say that the collapse of the economy is maybe part of a broader scam, part of a different scam. You know, you learn about all these things that have been happening in the government, you know, to make that whole situation come to a head to begin with. And, you know, there comes this question of where does the scam end and the broader kind of systemic rot begin? And I'm not quite sure where to draw that line.
Which recent scandals are you most intrigued by?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I do have to say the Theranos one was very intriguing to me, just because I think it has so much to say about the way business is done in America at this moment. There was so much faith that the people who gave money to Theranos put in this myth, you know, and what is alleged to be a lie. And yet they were willing to devote so many resources that could have gone to other places, you know, to this really you know, seductive idea that Elizabeth Holmes was selling, which was that, you know, people can be empowered over their own health. And that is just, it's a wonderful idea. Who would not want to, you know, give whatever they could to that idea? But it never occurred to them to really question or really say, but how exactly are you going
to
do this?
Well, it gets to the idea of American idealism, basically. I mean, this is people in Silicon Valley who want to believe that these startups can change the world.
That's right. I think that's right. And you know, of course, I identify with that so much because I would want to believe that as well. But it does sort of offer this indictment of, you know, this is one of the concentrations of power and wealth in this country right now. And, you know, they don't seem to know any better than the rest of us of what the future holds and what is worth our, you know, money and resources and time and attention. So I think on that level, it really intrigued me as a story to learn about Theranos, because it really felt like this is about all of America at this moment.
You know, when you look back in history at scam artists or con artists, they're kind of in a different class of criminal than a murderer or a burglar. Like they're clever. They're not 100% bad in the memory, even if what they did was obviously wrong.
That's right. I think that's exactly right. They're very good at manipulating other people. They're very good at understanding what someone wants and giving them what they want to hear. And I think, yes, exactly. On that level, the betrayal, you know, it's not often a physical betrayal, but it's sort of a psychic betrayal, and it's an emotional betrayal. And then on the broader level, it's often a social betrayal. And it just feels like a little bit of a violation of the social order of things, right? Like, what is the most fundamental thing we owe to each other? Well, it's honesty and it's respect. And con artists on that level are violating the fabric of society.
That's Megan Garber, who is a staff writer at The Atlantic. And Megan, thank you for joining us. And we will be sending you all expense paid to the Fyre Festival next year. They have the greatest lunches. I mean, it's like a turkey sandwich in a box. And you get to stay in a beautiful tent. Whatever
this
you
sounds
want.
Sounds wonderful.
Yes.
Let me know where I sign up. This is perfect.
Thanks, Megan.
Thank you so much.